I'm reading the Bible reading this morning from Psalm 37, from verse 1 to 11, and I'm reading out of the NIV. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Amen.
Thank you, Nikki. Bear with me today. My clicker is being a bit difficult. We're trying a new system before we actually go and buy the new system we need to get. And it's obviously having some difficulties. It worked fine in the practice. It worked fine all week because I was making sure we didn't use it last week because of those issues. Not a problem this week, but obviously now it is, so we'll just have to see how we go. But to get started with, transition you. Who likes Lego? Yeah, we got some Lego fans over here. There we go. I know I bought this into the school this week because I didn't want to forget it today. I try not to have things to remember on Sunday because that's not a good thing. I barely got to my office. I had like a line of kids kind of following me around. Ooh, Lego, shiny. There's something about a box of Lego. As I grew up, I had a huge tub of Lego. I had a sheet that would go out on the lounge room and I'd bring it out and, you know, invent all kinds of things. And there's nothing like, you know, that time you get a brand new set of Lego. This is brand new. And you open it up. Inside, you've got all the bags of joy. You know, that sound of Lego for the first time. They obviously give you some extra bits and pieces. And then you find in there the instruction booklet. And inside the instruction booklet just tells you how to have joy with that box. But of course, you can do other ways. You can play with it. You can get a bit of a feel for what's going on. One of the great things about Lego is it tells you a lot about what's going to happen. So firstly, you can see the picture. Who thinks they can guess what this is without actually knowing? Anyone have an idea if you can see? It's probably the glare is a bit different. Yes, it is. This is London. So this is the architecture series. Now that I'm adult, I have to kind of pretend that I'm not a child anymore, but secretly the child is still within. So I collect the architecture series because it's almost appropriate for me to have. So this is the latest one that I've managed to get in the series. It's London. You can see the London Eye. You can see Big Ben. You can see the London Bridge. All kinds of things that are going on. So you have a picture. You know right up front exactly how it should look. If you're wanting it to be the way it is, if you get to the end and what you've built doesn't look like this, you have an idea and go, you know what, that's not quite right. I've got an idea of what's desired. Inside of it, you can check, you can make sure, do I have the materials? Because inside here, it's going to have a run through. It's going to tell you exactly what you need. So you're going to have a look and say, do I have the materials? Has Lego forgotten to give me a piece? I'm going to have to go to that Lego store, oh no, terrible, and make sure that I can get that piece. And then finally, it goes through piece by piece with instructions. Now, one of the things I love about Lego instructions, it's not like flat pack furniture. I've been putting together some things for my parents this week because they got some furniture that was flat pack. And the diagrams are not right. They're actually not. There's a couple of places where they've got the pins in the wrong holes. And so you're never going to get that thing in the right spot. But Lego instructions, they are like brick by brick. It is a solid. You can follow it. You can see exactly what needs to happen. It's amazing. I love how simple Lego makes it. Now, if only rebuilding a church was like Lego, If only it was as simple as grabbing out and having a picture of what it needs to look like and having the materials and having some instructions. Well, maybe it is. I wonder if actually rebuilding a church isn't a lot like actually doing a Lego construction. We're here this week, we're looking at our series on rebuild. It's a new series, it's our vision series as we work through. Next slide, please, Colin. And we're going to be working through this as we go and really thinking about how do we rebuild as a church. I don't know, if you were here last week, have a look around. It's a little smaller this week. Last week it was overflowing, we had 60 people, we had people coming back to be a part of celebrating what's going on. That's not our normal story. We know where we're at as a church. And we know that this is a season of rebuilding. So this series that we look through, this is the word that we believe that God has given us for this year, is that we are called to rebuild. So as we go through, that's what we're going to be doing. So firstly, Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Thank you, Colin. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it that you want?" Next slide. Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Now, if you remember back to last week, and you can go on to the next slide for me, please, Colin. If you remember back to last week, we looked at the idea that we were talking about Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is writing this story, and we discovered that Nehemiah isn't just your average Joe. He was actually the cupbearer to the king. Hence why in this passage we find him bringing the wine to the king and sharing with him what's going on. And what we find here is he's standing before the king. You don't normally go before the king and look sad. If you're sad, you pretend you're not. If you look sad before the king and he's not happy with it, that can end badly for you. So even showing how he felt risked the ire of the king. But if you remember back to last week, if you're with us, he had this sense, he had this burden. He knew that he had to do something. So he takes a risk. He lets his authentic self show through. And the king can see this isn't just because he's not ill. He's not actually unwell, but he's sad. There's something going on. But what's interesting here is Nehemiah has complete clarity about what's desired. He knows what needs to happen. Those walls that are ruined in Jerusalem, they need to be rebuilt. And so he asks again, he says, "Would you send me, would you allow me to go if I found favor in your sight? Send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are, that I may rebuild it." Now, this is a real risk. He's asking to rebuild the ruins of a place that has been conquered. And there's every chance the king might go, "I'm not going to allow you to go and rebuild it." Like, rebuilding the walls around a city, that's what creates safety in that place. I'm not going to have a threat here. He takes a risk, but he knows what's desired. So what's desired at Austin Cove? What do we desire to see happen? What do we believe God has for us? Next slide, Colin. Well, this is what we believe. This is what this is the vision that God has given us, that we've been working towards, that we believe is what's going to happen between now and 2030. Between now and 2030, we will advance the kingdom of God by engaging people throughout the Shire of Murray, the broader Peel region, and to the ends of the earth, encouraging them to encounter God in transformative ways and equipping them to be sent as devoted followers of Jesus into the world. But now in 2030, we will advance the kingdom. We know where we're positioned, what's going on in our place, that we are called to advance the kingdom. We're not called you to sit on our hands and just sort of, you know what, things are all right. We're actually called to advance, to take steps that God wants to see his kingdom come and his will be done here in this region. And he wants us to do it in different ways. He wants us to engage people. He wants us to look, and we know that we have a bit of a focused area. So the Shire of Murray, the Peel region, but ultimately we know that he's calling us to the ends of the earth. And that in some way, this little church in this little area of Western Australia is called to make an impact to the ends of the earth. We know that that is what God desires from us. We want to see people transform. We don't just want to go through the motions and do the things that we do and sort of just get comfortable, but we actually want to see people's lives changed, to be transformed, to be turned around, to be made new, and to find the ways and the roles that we can play in doing that. But we also want to send people out. And it can be a little bit scary even at our stage when we sort of go, but we need some more people in first. Like, God, are you really calling us to send people? And this is the thing is, if we are in line with what God is calling us to, if he calls us to send someone, if he calls us to do something, the best thing we can do is to follow what he calls us to and trust that he has everything else in hand. One of the ways that churches can get in trouble is they can get really protective and they can get really insular and go, we just need to hold on to what we have. We just need to sort of make sure that we keep these things here. But God says, no, I want you to make a difference. I want you to send people and send them on mission and send them to be a part of different things and to be open and prepared for what I'm doing and trust that I'll do the rest. Next slide, Colin. We pick it up now. Nope, that's going back to the Bible reading. Keep going. There we go. Then the king with the queen sitting beside him asked me, how long will your journey take? And when will you get back? Not yet. No. I love technology. Just go back. Yep, there you go. And I'll let you know, don't touch a thing. We're all good. It pleased the king to send me to, so I set a time. I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make the beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and the residence I will occupy. And because the, next slide, gracious hand of God was on me, the king granted my requests. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. Next slide. What's going on here is we see Nehemiah. He has a bit of an idea of what needs to happen. He may not know the fullness of everything, because obviously once he gets there, he's going to have to see how things go. But ahead of time, he has a general idea that I need to go and see these people. I need to go and talk to these people, that they're going to have letters that it's going to grant me safe passage, and I sort of need to get there. And I have a feel for what needs to happen to help me get to where I'm going to get to. He has an idea of, what are the materials? What's the instruction? What are the steps that we're going to have to take to get to that place? So what are our steps? What are the steps in our story? Well, the steps in our story are engage, encounter, and equip. Now, what do we mean by this? So the idea is that we want to journey with someone who is as far from God as you can be. We actually want to recognize that not everybody loves God or loves church or recognizes where God's at. And so we start with people where they are. We engage them. We find ways to get in touch with them. We go out. We don't expect them to come to us. Places where we work, places where we rest, places where we play. And we look to find ways to connect in their life the life-changing message of Jesus. But we don't just want to engage them, because we don't just want to leave them where they are. We want to make sure that they have an opportunity to journey towards Jesus. And so the next step that we know needs to happen in some way is either through transformative relationships or through transformative environments. We want to encourage them to encounter God. We can't make someone encounter God. If we could, it would be great, because we would be seeing people come to Jesus left, right, and center, because we would just make them. Okay, that's probably not exactly what would happen. But the idea is we can't make it. But we can create environments and we can foster relationships. And so one of the steps that we know we need to take is to make sure that every environment that we have is intentionally set up to foster people encountering God. That every relationship we have, that we are actually helping you to foster relationships that draw people to encounter God. And that then once somebody has encountered God and their life is changed and something's going on inside of them, they go, yes, I want to follow Jesus. We then equip them to follow Jesus in every day, in every way. And we help them to know what it actually means to follow him. Now, does anyone follow this nice and neat path? No, they don't. There's a bit of engagement and then they might have an encounter and then they slip back to engagement again and then they get on fire for Jesus and they're sort of being equipped over here and then they sort of go back a little and go, oh, is God real? I'm not quite sure until we encounter them again. And it's not that this is a nice and neat, it's not like Lego, okay? This is where it's not like Lego. You can't just follow the instructions and step by step find your way to having someone following Jesus. But we know that these are the steps, that when someone shares their story, that when someone says, this is how I came to know Jesus, that they will normally say things like, I was out and playing sport and doing all these things, and then somebody was in my sporting club and they just sort of talked with me and they didn't Bible bash me and they didn't make sure, they just like loved me and shared with me and it was great. And then that person, or it might be that place, they invited me to Alpha, they took me to church, they came to Bible study, they did something, they talk about a person or a place that helped them come to know Jesus. And then as they're sharing their story, they'll say, and then I got involved in youth group, or then I got involved in a local Bible study, or then I got involved in this. Well, then I started helping out with this. Well, then I got on the worship team. Yeah. And they were equipped to follow Jesus. Everyone who shares their story has these elements. And so we know that as a church, this is where our energy goes. We find ways to help you to equip people. We find ways to have transformative environments and transformative relationships. And then we equip people to follow Jesus. And we rinse and repeat, and we put our effort and energy to intentionally do these things. Next slide, please. We pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate, toward the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount, next slide, to get through. So I went up to the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Next slide. So what's going on here now is Nehemiah, he's getting ready to rebuild the walls. He knows what needs to happen. He knows some of the steps that have to happen along the way. But he also needs to take an honest assessment of where things sit. He has to be realistic and he has to survey the land and get a feel for what's there, what's here, what am I working with and where's it going to start, even before he starts to share that with others who are going to become a part of it. He has to just go, all right, what is it about this place? So what are our current conditions? What are some of the things that are realistic to us? Next slide. One of the first conditions is that we are a church that meets in a school. But for quite a while now, we've had few families. Now, that's been changing because we've been praying and seeking and being intentional. But one of the things we just have to always keep in mind is that if that is true of us, that we're a church that meets in a school, but we don't have many families, that suggests that there's a mission disconnect. When you're a church that meets in an area with lots of young families and you don't have young families, that actually tells you that there's a disconnect. If you're a church that meets somewhere else, there's a reason why different churches have different people or different styles or different places. Because they're looking to connect with the people that are in the area they exist. So one of the things that we've had to be realistic about is a recognition that a church in our area, it really should have families. So that's one of the things that we're working towards. One of the other conditions that we have going on at the moment is that we're a world reeling from the better part of 2 years of serious hurt, conflict, masks, no masks, vaccine, no vaccine, depending on your position as to who you can be friends with. And there's a whole lot of people that are looking for hope. But they're not necessarily looking to the church, but they are looking for hope. So there's an opportunity there for someone to provide some hope. Next one. As far as I'm aware, someone who lives in the area can correct me, we're the only formal church in South Yundrup. I believe there are a couple of house churches, people who meet together in their homes in the local area, but as far as South Yundrup goes, we are the only formal church meeting in this area. That's significant, because it means that we have an opportunity to be the church for this place. And as this area grows, and that's the last condition that we have at the moment, is we are in a growth area. We went through last week the population stats and the predictions. So next slide, please, Colin. We're in a growth area. So as we take these steps forward, if you ever drive down this road here, you see all the sand they're carting in. I don't exactly know where it's coming from, but they're piling it up and they've got people moving in left, right and centre. Ravenswood's going up. Pinjarra's going up. There's so much potential moving forward with people moving into the area. These are the conditions that we find ourselves. This is where we are currently situated. We're aware of some of our weaknesses and we're working towards them. But there's a great opportunity in our world and our culture at the moment as people re-engage, and they will, it'll happen. We still got a little bit to go in WA because we're only just about to really go through it. But there's a whole lot of hurting people who need hope. And we're in an area that has incredible growth potential. So as we look to rebuild, we need to recognize and see what are our weaknesses, what are our strengths, and what are some of the things that we can step into. Continuing on in Nehemiah chapter 2. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me." Now, Nehemiah is honest. He is. He's incredibly honest about the realities of their situation. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't say, "You know what? The walls are really good and we're just going to move right back in and there's no work to do and you're not going to break a sweat and there's just, you know, lots of fruit and you're just going to sit back and relax by the pool." He doesn't pretend that it isn't what it is. He's honest. It lies in ruins. We're going to need to rebuild the wall. But God is with us. God is with us. You know, it does not matter what your current conditions are if God is with you. I wonder what's going on in your life at the moment. Let's actually dig into your world. I wonder what your pain points are right now. What are you experiencing? What are the challenges that are happening? Maybe there's some things at work that you just don't see a way through. Maybe the reality is your home situation isn't what you'd like it to be. Maybe there's some health challenges or things that are going on for your own person. Whatever condition you find yourself in, if you can look at it and say, but God is with me. The gracious hand of my God. And you may not necessarily feel it at all times. But if you can say it, if you can see it, if you can know it deep within and go, I know God is with me. And you will go a long way. To rebuild Austin Cove, we have to keep our eyes on that vision. We have to remember that God has called us to advance his kingdom. We don't exist to just go through the motions and do what we do week in, week out, and have awesome guest musicians come in and play some worship and have some tech that works fantastically. That's not what it's about. We've got to keep our eyes on that vision that we are called to advance his mission in the Shire of Murray, in the broader Peel region, and to the ends of the earth. And the way we do that is we keep our feet on mission. Now, here's the thing about walking. I'm going to teach you how to walk. Isn't this amazing? Like, this is really deep stuff here. You put one foot in front of the other. All right, good. See you later. Now, it sounds silly. It might sound flippant, but it's true. To walk, and actually having seen some people who had to try and learn to walk again, it's really, seeing small children learn to walk is one thing because they just fall over and all. When you see adults actually having to relearn, it really is as simple, because it's not as simple as that, because you've got to retrain all your muscles and you've got to learn it all. But the way that you do it is you learn to put one foot in front of the other. And so as a church, as we look to rebuild, all we're looking to do right now, we're not looking to take 10 steps. We're not looking to take 5 steps. We're asking God to show us and share with us and help us to just take the step today that we need to take. We've got some ideas of what that might be, and we're asking God to give us clarity and to give us a sense of direction and purpose. And each day and every day, we as a church will just say, God, what's the step of faith that I can take today? So in your own lives at the moment, you may not be able to see what's going to go on in 3 months or 6 months. You might have some uncertainties about what's happening for you. Each day, all you need to do is afresh say to God, hey, God, what's today's step? Not next week. I can't solve Jill. There's no Jills here, is there? No. I can't solve Jill. I can't fix that. But maybe I can start with my heart. Maybe I can start with my mindset. Maybe I can read scripture today. Maybe I can call that person that I need to call. What's the step for today? Don't get caught looking too far ahead. Don't get caught trying to solve things that are not today's step. To keep your feet on mission just means, have you ever seen someone try and take too many steps at a time? Like, you actually trip over if you try and walk too fast. We keep our eyes looking forward. We know where God is taking us. We have a sense of the big picture. But this day, we just take the next step that we can. And really, we're just beginning. We're a 10-year-old church, but in so many ways, go forward again. That's it, right there. We've been through a whole life cycle as a church, born, reached really high points, come back down again. And we're just embarking again on the next life cycle in the life of this church. And it's a beginning. And there's some excitement and there's been some new families joining us. And that brings some energy and it brings some vitalization that we need. And my prayer and my hope is that will continue to infuse in us a sense of purpose and passion as we step forward. So here are some of the focuses that we have over the next 3 to 5 years. And these are the ones that they're kind of reworded, but it's the same as the ones that are in our booklet. The first step that we have over the next 3 to 5 years is we need to be focused on empowering our discipleship both individual and corporate. Corporate is just a fancy word for like the church together. One of the sayings that I've heard, and I really should look up who it actually is, who said it first, but it's a really important one. If you aim to build a church, you may not get disciples. If you aim to make disciples, you always get the church. I'll just say that again. If you aim to build a church, you may not get disciples. But if you aim to make disciples, you will always get the church. Because the church is part of the discipleship process. But there are times that we can get caught in just doing church and making church happen and not be sold out and focused on helping individuals and together grow deeper in their relationship with Christ. So everything that we do in some way is aimed at helping a person take their next step in their faith journey. And so the places, the environments that we have and the relationships that we foster are solely focused on helping people grow in their discipleship. Another one that's on the radar for us is that we do believe this learning center and the attached multi-purpose room is a big step for us as a church, but we do believe it is what God is calling us to. We just continue to step out in faith and just take the next step and put the word out there for what God's asking, and we just keep seeing Him seem to open those doors. Now, we still haven't completely, fixed in. We're definitely doing this. But my expectation is we have a sense that God is calling us to some kind of community fostering space. And at the moment, this is the best opportunity that we have. So we're exploring, and hopefully that's going to be part of our future. We need to develop our digital platforms. And it's great that this is one of the things we have on a day where our technology has just worked so fantastically. We actually will be looking to grow and develop and deepen the digital platforms that we have. Just a bit of an aside, the reason why we're having these challenges is we're trying to get into the position where we can use our live streaming and have that offering. There's every chance over the next few months that we won't be able to meet in person like this, and we're trying to get it set up so we can actually do that, which means we've needed some new softwares, which means we need some different computers, which means we need all kinds of things. So we're a bit troubleshooting at the moment, and more trouble than shooting, but that's okay. And we're getting there, and we'll work on that. But we know that this is an area that is growing and really taking off around the world. And having the capacity to offer different things through digital platforms, have content that's available to people when it's ready for them, having ways to connect beyond just our gatherings in person, and even looking at doing some discipleship. And how could we reach people to the ends of the earth right here from South Yundra? Well, digital platforms are one of the ways to do that. So that's something we're going to be exploring over the next few years. And then finally, we look to build strategic relationships. One of the things we're really big on now is doing more by doing less. That if someone else is already doing something, we're not going to try and recreate the wheel. We're going to look to partner with strategic organizations that do what they do really well. So a couple of examples of that are Bridge Builders over in Mandurah. They do a really good job of providing food parcels to those who are in need. We could do something like that. Or we could collect food, give it to them, and empower them to keep doing what they do well. Groups like Compassion, who do child sponsorship. We could actually start our own program and go overseas and sort of find a place and get involved. Or we could get alongside Compassion, bring on the sponsor children, and do that really well. So we're really focusing what we do into a few key areas and looking to leverage key relationships. Rather than having 1,000 things that we do, we're trying to keep that really focused and really strategic. So that's a little bit of an overview. We know the desired picture. And it looks like London, yeah? No. But Bruno, we have an idea. We can see that picture of that future in 2030, and we've advanced the kingdom. We've got people that are engaged throughout the Shire of Murray, through the Peel region, to the ends of the earth. We have an idea of some of the things that we need, some of the people, some of the skill set, some of those, what's the equipment that's going to get us there. And we have an idea of the steps. We know that we need to engage people that are far from God. They're not coming to us. People aren't sitting at home today and going, you know what, I wonder what church is doing today. They're probably snoring. You know, some people are anyway. I'm certainly not. Hope you're not too. But we have an idea of the steps. We need to engage people that are far from God. We need transformative relationships and environments that will help them to encounter Him afresh. And then we need to equip people. Whether they're here for one day or 100 days or however many they might be with us, to be sent out to make a difference in our world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather. And we just pray that you would help us as a church as we step out to advance your kingdom. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray, just as Nehemiah looked out over the walls and had an honest assessment of where they were, Lord, that we would be honest in our own situation, but that we would be able to say, but God is with us. And if God is with us, what can stand against? So Lord, we pray that you would just invigorate us, inspire us, challenge us, and grow us to keep our eyes on the vision, whether it's the vision from the church, or that's the vision in our own lives and how it plays out where we work, rest, and play. And just keep taking that next step. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.